Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Mark Rattledge, and this is the single greatest heavy metal album review podcast on a Tuesday night at 10 o'clock on the interwebs. This is the Metal Hammer of Doom. Tonight is kind of like Rush Limbaugh's Friday show, where he, open line Friday, as he calls it. He gives the show completely to the viewers, to the listeners. You just can't view a radio show. Well, you could, because he does a live webcam as well. That's not important right now. Open Line Friday is when Rush Limbaugh says, you, the viewers, will control the show. Well, I do a form of that here on the Metal Hammer of Doom. This is, you heard of Lady's Choice? Well, this is Robert's Choice. And who is Robert? Well, he's my co-host. This is the Metal Coop. Mr. Cooper, how do you do, sir?
I'm pretty well tanned, and I have an extensive knowledge of how to put up a vinyl fence after today. So there you go.
Are you going to make a career out of Lowe's? Are you going to abandon teaching, which I approve of, by the way? As your spiritual leader and father figure, I approve of you abandoning the education profession and making a career out of Lowe's.
Well, I don't know if quite I would career Lowe's, but I've come to find that after doing the review, the yearly review with my assistant manager, I'm like, huh, these people actually think I'm worth shit, even though they do work me like a damn dog sometimes and do ask the question, what the fuck you been doing all night? It's like the worst question to ask, by the way. Like when you've been busting your ass and the manager walks out and been like, huh, well, I guess you've been fucking off for the past 6 hours. Like, I would have killed every one of you. It's not the worst place in the world. There's a lot worse. There's Walmart, of course, which I was noting the other day. I'm like, you know, Walmart gets, like, one of the most insane amount of really hirings in the area that I live in. But, damn, I have only found about 2 Walmart employees in my lifetime worth hitting on. That's sad.
It's all about the women, huh, Cooper? It's not about the paycheck or the career or the prospect. It's all about where to hooch at.
Well, the interesting thing is that Milo's, we don't tend to hire a lot of the young, attractive, single women clientele. We end up with a lot of the more mature audience. So usually about 35 and up and married or something. So, yeah, I tend to miss the boat on that part. But fortunately, I do work in a department where about a few times a week I'm like, hello, you're gorgeous. Oh, you're sick. Oh, you're engaged. Of course you are. Because it's every girl's dream to get a nice, shiny rock. Yeah, you know, I always thought it would be just so much more amusing, in my opinion, if, like, you propose to a girl with one of those rings from, like, the from the vending machine at the grocery store.
Okay.
I don't know. I think it's far more charming.
Just to see if she loves you for more than your money?
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, I'd have the real thing later, but I just think it would be really funny if you just started it out like that. What's the worst thing that... Okay, what's the worst thing that could happen? Well, you'll end up single again.
Yeah, that's certainly a possible consequence. Robert Cooper, this is Cooper's Choice, okay? That's what we're here to talk about here. There's plenty of time to talk about...
Sophie's Choice.
There's plenty of time to talk about your sad love life as the show progresses. But this is supposed to be your choice. This is where I turn the show over to you. That's what we were starting to say before. I didn't want to lose track of that. People wondering, why would you start the show that way? I start the show that way because normally I run this bitch. Who runs this bitch? I run this bitch. And I pick the albums. I lead the discussions. But on occasionally we do a Cooper's Choice show where you turn me on to some crazy thing. You say, hey, Mark Rattledge, put down that Hatebreed album and try listening to some of this. And I go, hey, it's not half bad. It ain't half good, but it ain't half bad. So tonight is one of those nights. Why don't you tell the good people what it is we're going to be, it says it in the podcast thing, but God damn it, I want this show to be, I want it to sound like I'm not stammering. So why don't you go ahead and tell the good people what it is we're going to be reviewing tonight and why we're reviewing and what's it all about. What's the meaning of life, Robert Cooper?
Well, 42 and the Hokey Pokey is what it's all about. But anyways, from one extreme to another, last week we reviewed Hatebreed, or we...
You didn't review
any
shit. Hang on. Be for real. You didn't review a goddamn thing.
Yeah. That's true. I reviewed the signage that needed to be posted at about 1 in the morning. last week, we as a podcast, as in the entity that is the Metal Hammer of Doom, reviewed Hatebreed, which was it's still kind of hardcore bro metal. It's good stuff, but it is what it is. And this week, we have completely and totally went to the other side of the fucking universe, in more ways than one, to review a 2016 album. It actually just came out at the beginning of May. So, hey, almost timely review, considering we do shit like, 3 months later. A progressive thrash metal band from Arizona and Pennsylvania, collectively. A band called Vector. They're actually a progressive thrash metal band, and they're really, really awesome. The album we'll be looking at today is called Terminal Redux. And it's actually their third album. I got turned on to them in 2011, actually, because before I got a job, I realized just how much fucking free time I used to have. Wow. Before I got a job, every Monday night there'd be a heavy metal show on the interwebs coming from I wouldn't say it was Springfield, Illinois. It was Monday Night Metal Mayhem, hosted by Metal Chris and Tim, the Pissmaster. And they played mostly kind of the heavier stuff. But they, everybody would request stuff in the chat, and most of the time it get played. Like, that's how I managed to make a ton of heavy metal friends, through me demanding that they play Orphan Land all the time. But one day, somebody's like, hey, can you play this band Vector? And they played it, and I was fucking blown away. Just the amount of technical proficiency in the guitars, really interesting sci-fi concepts in the and all the lyrics. It was had a very varied sound, because they had slow parts, fast parts, the occasional like breakdown of speed into another tempo, and the vocals, while they were a bit screamy, not in the typical metal way either, but like a shriek. A little shrieky sometimes. And that made them really unique. And I feel like the band itself is a very unique entity in and of itself, because while we have talked about multiple times about how wonderful lyrics and metal are, we oftentimes do not see a whole lot of sci-fi in heavy metal, which is interesting, because you'd figure, hey, that goes like hand in hand with the metal, but we tend to get a lot of fantasy, but not much sci-fi. So it's really interesting to see a band kind of reach out into the cosmos and make a insane concept album about a ship traveling to the distant cosmos.
Okay. We'll go ahead and play the first track here. Now, these are some very long. When you talk about progressive, you know, thrash metal, you usually get about a 30 to 45 minute album, 2 to 3 minute songs, etc. This Vector Terminal Redux, this first one's about 9 minutes. You know, this is like a Pink Floyd album. So we'll go ahead and listen to a little less than half of it. This is Charging the Void. Sir, I can hear the thrashiness in there, but do you know what they reminded me more of than anything else, at least that particular song did? Cradle of Filth. What do you think about that?
I could see that instead of looking at something in more of a horror vein, it's looking at it in more of sci-fi. So, you know, less, I would say that it is less, I just forgot the fucking guy's name. There we go. Less H.P. Lovecraft and Bram Stoker and much more L. Ron Hubbard and Isaac Asimov. There we go.
Well, I mean, I can't speak to the lyrical content, but I'm saying just the sound of the guy's voice definitely sounds like the singer from Cradle of Filth.
Yeah, I could see him doing a Danny Phil. But I was being reminded of Skeleton Witch a lot too.
Okay.
I love me some Skeleton Witch. Though I will say, side note, Skeleton Witch, they got a new singer. He kind of just sounds like a guy, just like a regular old screamy guy. Makes me sad. They had a really unique sound. But yeah, I would say that comparing this band to Cradle of Filth in a way, it's actually very accurate. Because they both sort of have that progressive, almost a progressive tinge to them. Like, there's a lot of progressive element in Cradle of Filth songs. I mean, hell, a lot of them are, seven, especially in the middle of their career, 7-8 minutes, a lot of different, less technical, more operatic sort of theatric sort of nuances to it, but it's still really interesting music at the end of the day.
So what's going on that first song? Anything of interest?
Some of it, I feel like actually it's playing off of the last album, Outer Isolation, because there's a lot of this first song, there's some references to being of isolation and some tyrants that I'm not quite sure who they are, but a lot of this song here is the speaker talking about pretty much going through the cosmos to a certain galaxy called, hold on, I totally got this. I just had my eyes on it. Oh, Alshain, which is, it's actually way off. I had actually Googled it earlier because I'm like, what the hell is an Alshain? So making sure they weren't pulling things out of their ass.
So is this like a downward spiral or something where this is all one concept album that tells a story and songs like a chapter in that story?
I would say it's very much like that, especially when this first track, Charging the Void, and the last track, Recharging the Void, they're bookends, because the last track is almost a refrain of sorts of the first one, so it kind of looks back at the first track and, I'm not going to say answers the questions, but kind of, you know, it's almost like a thesis statement.
Okay.
See, I love using that example. And most people don't get it.
Let's go ahead into track two. This is, and if you need to talk, still talk about track one, we can come back to it. But let's move ahead. Let's trudge forward. This is track two. This is Cygnus Terminal.
Thank you.
So one thing I can tell by the second track here is how much differentiation they put in their songs. I mean, we're talking about 9 minute and 8 minute songs respectively, and they're doing different things with them. They're taking their time. I mean, normally with thrash, it's just, you know, it just balls out, you know, you really hit it. And with this, I'm noticing that they're doing some interesting things in the music that I don't normally hear. You can definitely hear that progressive influence, that progressive sound. But again, I go back to, it still reminds me a little bit more of European black metal than it does any kind of traditional thrash.
Actually, what I was getting from listening to the song again was actually it reminded me of Agalloch, which R.I.P. Agalloch. It's been a sad month for metal, by the way. Between Agalloch breaking up and Nick Menza just dying suddenly.
Yeah,
apparently it's like a heart failure in the middle of a gig.
Yeah, my mother-in-law actually was like, oh, did you know that the guy from Megadeth died in the middle of a gig? And I'm like, yes, I heard the story.
Yeah, I actually ended up telling my coworkers about it today. But yeah, it ended up being, do you ever notice that, like, total just, this is only going to take like a minute in terms of a tangent, but like, you ever notice when you're a fan of something and like it manages to hit mainstream news, every fucking person that knows you like is like, hey, did you hear about this?
Yeah, more specifically, my wife and my mother-in-law will will go out of their way to try to, you know, tell me about something, and I'm like, yes, I know. I like subscribe to a half a dozen things in my Facebook feed, and or my my Twitter feed that tells me all this stuff well before you people get to it. I got it. Thanks.
Yeah, I guess it's their way of trying. It's their way of trying to fit in with you. You know, like, oh,
sure.
I know. Yeah.
It is absolutely their way of trying to engage with me. And like, I don't give them shit about it, but yeah, you know, it's just like, I just sort of roll my eyes and go, yeah,
It's like, thanks, guys. But yeah, this song here actually reminds me a lot of American black metal, something like Agalloch. I definitely heard a lot of stuff like their album, from the Agalloch album, The Mantle, in this song. It had very much that vibe. Yeah, this is, I think, a continuation of the previous album because it was talking about the, again, the isolation. And there's some really interesting concepts in here. That's one of my favorite ones is, of course, one of the favorite things from anime ever, time dilation. There have been some absolutely wonderful stories that actually focus around the idea of, you know, you're off somewhere out in space, and for you it's been a year, but for everyone it's been 13, kind of that idea. Mm-hmm. And this album, this song here actually covers with the main character being talked to by what I assume is either it's some sort of interrogation bot. But it says, where were you? Gone for 13 years and only age 2. And it's a very interesting concept. It's one of those that I, honestly, if I wrote a book, which I've come to find my writing talents are much more suited for criticism than creation.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those I like journalism a lot more than creative writing, I think. Because I always feel like there's, well, you know, most things are done. Every time I try to write something, I'm like, hey, this reminds me of that thing I read. Oh, yeah. But this is a song looking at our main character and explaining kind of what's been happening to him in the last album, The Outer Isolation, and building upon pretty much what's going to happen. It's talking about how he's returned to the galaxy. I almost imagine where he's returned to is what could be the equivalent of perhaps a Deep Space Nine sort of thing, like a hub, kind of returning there, pissed off, and can't wait to fucking kill some people. So it's a very interesting song, and again, it's really impressive that a 9-minute song and an 8-minute song don't really feel like it to me. Like, I was listening to the last track that's 13 minutes. So I'm like, oh, shit. All right. Song's over. I would say that a good progressive metal album is very much like Lord of the Rings. Like, you know, those movies were long as fuck, but they're pretty good and you don't really notice.
Sure. Okay. Let's go ahead and play track 3 here. This is LCD, Liquid Crystal Disease. Turn it off. All right, so what you got for that one?
This is actually another very interesting song. Actually, for some reason, I don't know if this just because the concert or a repeating of Crystal Disease, but it was reminding me of a game of an American indie game that I've played fucking 50-something hours of called FTL, Faster Than Light. And it's totally fucking awesome and insanely difficult. Because that game, interestingly enough, is anything can happen. So you can like do your third jump on the first level, and fucking people can invade your ship, blow out your oxygen systems, and kill your crew. America. But
okay.
This song here is actually about I guess the Epsilon system. But it was talking about how pretty much the people that run it are infecting people with this crystal disease by pretty much right through their LCD screens. And our main character is just pretty much describing all about that, but also looking at ways to looking at people that he can have join his little resistance, because at the end he's talking about a full-out cleansing by thought-out annihilation. So that's pretty fucking cool. But this brings a really interesting idea of...
Sorry, go ahead.
What, thought-out annihilation just takes your fancy?
That's the way you said it. It's pretty fucking cool.
It's
yeah,
pretty
man.
Fucking cool. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, boy. The really interesting thing that's in this song is if you can actually compare that very much so to a lot of people of today, how the addiction to that screen. I mean, hell, when I'm not working or outside or, you know, hanging out with some people, yeah, I'm on the computer. And I know that's not exactly the best thing, but you see tons of people, especially I've noticed teenagers. God, I sound old, but, like, you know, a lot of your 16-year-olds, holy fuck. Because, you know, they've never really been in a world, I guess, in an adult world for them, quote unquote. So let's say teenage years without a really cool cell phone that can do fucking anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they very much are attached to them, and that's like a lifeline for them. Like, a lot of people I've talked to are like, man, if I lost my cell phone, that's my life. That's my lifeline right there. I'm like, you know, I've had my cell phone in a state of disrepair for like months on end. I couldn't call people or text people. All right. I mean, I had ways to manage. I could call them some other time or talk to them through email or instant message. But it's really interesting to see the kind of learned helplessness that people get with from the fact that they don't have their technology. There's, you know, there's so much that people really invest their lives and their time in something like that. That this, I honestly think that there's a little bit of a parallel here. Well, granted, our government, knock on wood, are not trying to poison us with a liquid crystal disease through our technology and screens. I could see that as something that could happen. I mean, that's very much so. You know, it'd be pretty easy to let happen because everybody has some sort of fucking screen in front of them in the civilized. First world, I'm not going to say everybody, because, damn, if they got that shit in third world countries, I'm doing something wrong. I don't even have a smartphone. Me and my bootleg AT&T BlackBerry. Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually so shitty that I can't even use the mobile email app. I was like, oh, let me go check my email. And it's like, oh, it doesn't support it anymore. I'm like, well, fuck me.
Goodness gracious, Robert.
Yeah, it's, I mean, hey, the parents pay for the phone bill. I'm like, all right, y'all want to do your thing? You do that. I'll keep saving money, pay off my student loans, and go venture into the adult world. Once I pay those student loans off. Because, hey, that's what Lowe's is good for me. Get to make a whole lot of...
Real quick, what's the name of the new Thoughts on Blood album?
Metacatonia.
What?
It's Meta... It's M-E-T-A-C-H-T-O-N-I-A. It's Thoughts on Blood 3. You can just look for that.
I'm putting Thoughts on Blood 3. I had to rearrange the calendar, so we'll be reviewing, breaking news, we're reviewing Frost on Blot 3 on June 21st.
Fuck yeah.
So,
yeah,
and I moved
okay,
up,
yeah.
And I moved up Grand Magus to next week.
Okay.
So, just letting
you know. I cannot wait. You know what I really should do? I should fucking see if I can get the guy from Frost on Blot to join that fight.
Gavin keeps wanting me to interview some band that he knows in West Virginia. Who I'd have to go dig through my chats to tell you what the name is. You've probably heard of them, but I don't know. I'm not tremendously inspired to do a tremendous amount of do a tremendous amount of talking to bands. I like reviewing their music. I don't necessarily want to talk to these people.
I was going to totally have him join in for the review. We're kind of do a live track by track breakdown or something. I don't know. I thought about talking to him. I mean, the worst thing that could happen, he's like, no thanks. I'm like, okay, here's the link.
Here's the link. Lots of luck.
I mean, I am so fucking excited for that album because I've been marathoning the first two albums like on my drives to and from work. It's a good time. Nothing really says a good drive home like being at a stoplight and telling people about the killing the nihilist. You know, just kind of locking eyes with them and putting up the horns. I've never actually done that because I'm not cool enough.
All right, let's go ahead and play another song here. This is probably just a little interlude. This is Mountains Above the Sun. It only clocks in about a minute and 22 seconds, so I can't imagine there's going to be a whole lot here. Jump into track 5. This is Ultimate Artificer. So again, that one was pretty straightforward. But I keep tending to repeat myself, but still sounds like a lot of black metal to me. I'm not to me the thrash metal, the vocals are usually a little bit clearer, a little bit higher. That sounds exactly like a lot of black metal singers. So, I mean, it's fine. It's good. It's probably that one because I hate to say it because it's a little less there's less to it. It's more straightforward. I tend to like it a little bit more. You know, I am a simple man. Hatebreed.
Yeah. I mean, it's not everybody's cup of tea. Though I do love the Metal Sucks review for this album, say Vector. Terminal Redux, Make Space Great Again. Oh, Donald Trump, you meme-making machine. Which a friend of mine showed me a video that I did not know that existed. It was him doing the Bing Bong. I'm sure you've seen the Bing Bong. Doing some shit with the, talking about China and trucks. I think, yeah, what was it about? Lobbyist, that's what it was. But everybody remixed it, and it was the greatest thing ever. Oh, I'll have to send it to you. You will greatly enjoy it, because I'm sure you will never tire of Donald Trump memes.
Okay.
Anywho. Yes, things that aren't Donald Trump memes. This song here, what it was reminding me of the entire time, talking about the giant parallax, a big lightning cloud, it brings me back to that really shitty movie. Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. You remember
really?
That movie, don't you, Mark?
I totally thought you were going to talk about Green Lantern with Ryan Reynolds, but go on. Yes, I do remember it.
Did I ever finish Green Lantern? No, because I didn't care.
Well, you mentioned
funny,
Parallax.
Green Lantern...
You mentioned Parallax. That's the reason why I said it.
Yeah, wasn't Parallax a big cloud in that, too?
Yes, sir.
Because I was referencing the version of Galactus from that movie where he was just a big cloud, like little drones and shit. That was like the worst version of Galactus, by the way. I mean, Jesus Christ. Those people can't do a good Fantastic Four movie to save their lives.
Not good.
Nah. Then again, I've come to find that a lot of Fantastic Four has some great storylines, but overall the comics is kind of meh. At least that's how it's always been for me. I get kind of bored by it.
Yeah, it depends.
It's disappointing because, you know, they are Marvel's first family. But anywho, things that aren't comic books. Because I haven't bought a new comic book in 6 years and don't really plan on it since every time I see news about comic books, I'm like, God damn it, it's a gimmicky thing. It's a gimmicky business. You know, I wish we could do something like DC. We should just reboot this podcast every 2 years.
No, we're not going
to
do that.
Sure, we're not going to be like the metal washboard of Jubilation or something.
The metal washboard? No, sir.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
Disappointing. I'm just disappointed. But anyway, this is very just...
I said, no, you're not. Come on now.
No. He said, hang on. I'm like, what? But, yeah, this pretty much has that parallax coming and dropping down upon the space station of sorts. Then it talks about the ultimate artificer who's around to spread fear and usurping the world in silence. And it's really cool because I do imagine it as like this big cloud that's engulfing the universe or, you know, engulfing place and just fucking shit up. Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and move to track 6. This is Terracticon as opposed to Megatron. I don't know. We'll be right back. I have to admit, I'm a little distracted tonight. I'm trying to figure out what our calendar is going to be after June. We have we're just about going weekly until the end of June, and then July comes, and there's this dry spell of nothing. And so I'm clicking on there. I'm listening to the music, and I'm clicking on different things. And I just discovered now that Danzig is going to be releasing an album called Danzig Sings Elvis. And he's already released a track called
God.
Always on My Mind. Now, he's already released a covers album called Skeletons, which I don't know how this one got past me. But I'm going to need to go back and listen to it.
I love me some Glenn Danzig, because the dude is like a fucking walking meme at this point. I mean, he does sound like Evil Elvis. But yeah, we'll see what we could do. I mean, shit, there's plenty of albums from the past, like May and June, we can just review, to be honest. I could push them to show.
July might be Robert Cooper month, and you'll just have to tell me when. I think there's one, depending on your schedule, there's one week where Tuesday's already spoken for because there's a UFC show on Wednesday, so we had to move our movie review to Tuesday. Maybe we'll skip that week. But the other weeks in July, if you want to do something, I might just say, look, you're going to have to tell me what it is you want to review because I got nothing here. When it gets to August, there's at least two. There's a new Tarja and there's a Sabaton, The Last Stand. You're fucking welcome. And then in September, there's a new Devin Townsend project. But, yeah, it's slim pickings after June.
Yeah, let's see. What do we have here? Oh, we got some pretty cool shit we could do. Oh, yeah.
We can talk after the show or tomorrow or something. And I don't want to have a production meeting in the middle of our show. So.
Wouldn't be the first
anything
one.
Anything about track six?
Track six is kind of returns to our terrorist cell and jihad leader of main character. Okay, he's not really doing a jihad, but yeah, this is the execution of what was being built in some of the other tracks. The terrorist cells being united among our leader here, and them pretty much breaking into the Cygnus Empire and fucking shit up and freeing the people like only Mad Max could.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. The Reapers are back. I'm assuming the Reapers are very much like a death squad of ships of sorts. Like, you know, kind of like the Royal Guard, but instead of it being guys in red cloaks guarding the Emperor, it's like some really fast ships. Like, what are those fucking ones in Battlestar Galactica? Shit. I don't remember. I haven't watched Battlestar Galactica in a while. I didn't like the reboot that much anyways, which is funny. You'd assume it would be right up my alley, but I tried watching it on television, and that just didn't work for me. Ugh. It was really slow.
People tell me there's a chicken Battlestar Galactica that's pretty hot, Katie Sackhoff.
Katie Sackhoff was pretty hot. Well, I don't know how there was once when I was a kid. My dad was debating with his wife what they should watch on Monday night. He was like, well, Sci-Fi is doing a marathon of Battlestar Galactica, and she wants to watch Masterpiece Theater. I'm like, I don't know, Dad. I think Battlestar Galactica is probably the best bet. You know, the original 1979 Battlestar Galactica. Yeah, that's what he was totally in for. I think it was 79. Yeah. That was a good show, though. A little cheesy, but when does that ever stop me, right? But yeah, this is pretty much the culmination of our the build-up against the Cygnus Corporation, and now they have raised them, and yeah, the future is now safe, at least until the next song.
Okay. All right. Moving right along here, this is track 7. This is Psychotropia.
Thank you.
us about that track, sir.
That track is very interesting because now that they have overthrown the corporation, they have made a 2.0 version of the same corporation, it seems, because our main character is now damned and determined to build an ageless utopia by the name of Psychotropia. That was very lyrical on their part. And creating a hive mind of sorts using the people from the that lived on the Cygnus ship, I assume. I think it was a ship. Well, it was an empire, but there were ships. It talks about creating a hive mind and sterilizing everyone since everybody's going to be ageless. And if anybody does happen to get, you know, sick or die, which shouldn't happen considering I'm assuming at this time now they have pretty much gotten rid of a lot of diseases through genetic modifications. But they have everybody's DNA on file, so they can just totally clone people, I'm assuming. Yeah, the genetic banks. Yeah. But it's pretty cool. It's talking about the genetic banks have my hand-picked genes of misfortune on someone awaits. But it's interesting because now that they've overthrown this giant corporation of sorts, now they are going to kind of, I think, spread out across the galaxy as a giant hive mind, spreading their ideals, and I'm assuming taking over like they're the NWO. Yeah, it's very ironic. I've seen many stories that are very much the same way. A freedom fighter of sorts, or maybe some angry asshole ends up overthrowing this big corporation and then ends up becoming the big corporation in some way, shape, or form.
So,
what does that mean?
Make the new boss same as the old boss, is what we're saying?
Yeah, he lived long enough to see himself become a villain.
Okay. What does Bane think about that? Does Bane need a minute to hear the next song before Bane can give his opinion?
I think that would be wise.
Okay, yeah. Bane. Let's go ahead and play. I got it. Let's go ahead and play track 8. This is Pillars of Sand, and then we'll come back and hear from Bane. going to take a time out from this and ask you a question. Well, oh, sorry. I forgot. We still need to hear from Bane. Bane, your thoughts, sir. Welcome to the show.
And this album has is that he doesn't manage to make enough bombs. That's really what everybody needs. They need bombs. And they need to break Batman. And the problem is I don't see him breaking any Batman. Batman. Yeah, he's not breaking any Batman. That's the problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have a pitch for you. You know, every November we do our turkey, our yearly turkey, mm-hmm. which, you know, some, you know, last year we did Limp Bizkit. I think one year we did Saint Anger. Yeah, we always pick like a terrible album. So I just was, you know, thinking ahead, thinking about the rest of the year. And I was like, I don't have any ideas for what we should do in November for our yearly turkey. And then I thought, let me look and see what happens if I put top 10 worst metal albums. You know what? What came close in one of the articles I saw? Poison. Look what the cat dragged in. Which even Bret Michaels referred to as a glorified demo.
I could rip apart some Poison because I have no love for Poison.
We've got I Want Action. I want action tonight. Satisfaction. All right.
I think it should be called I Need Writing Lessons Tonight.
And then we have Look What the Cat Dragged In. Oh my God, look what the cat dragged in. Living my life, sin after sin. And then, of course, the forever covered Talk Dirty to Me. And the rest of these,
yeah,
I don't know.
That actually started my hatred of Poison because I ended up having to play it on Guitar Hero about 5 gajillion times, and it pissed me off so much because it was before I got to where I was okay at it. So I just kept failing that song about 200 times.
So
Do I hear a second
on this Look What the Cat Dragged In, the debut from Poison?
Oh, yes.
Okay. That's going on the calendar.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if I told that story. There was once one of my local, one of the local gigs, one of the local places, decided to book Bret Michaels for a concert, and I commented, "Oh boy, who's the next bloated corpse of a singer you're gonna drag in? Kurt Cobain."
I'm scheduling this for Tuesday, November 22nd, tentatively.
Okay.
Which is like 2 days before Thanksgiving.
Cool. And then Jesse and I will probably end up doing Thanksgiving again and reviewing something else shitty.
Well, do you want me to put it on a different week?
I mean, you can. It doesn't matter to me. Because I know that's, I think that's been like Jesse and I's yearly Thanksgiving thing. I think this thing we're going to do a... get a second helping a turkey.
So, do you want to do two? Well, yes or no. Do you want to do two shows in 1 week or not?
Yeah, I can do two shows in 1 week. That's fine.
Okay.
I think I should be okay with that. I mean, that's a while away. If we have to change anything, we can end up changing something.
Sure. It's only November.
Yeah.
This is what it's like dealing with me, folks. With that said, let's go to track 9. This is Collapse.
Thank you.
Produced and mechanical, not a complaint, just an observation. Give me some ideas about this, some thoughts.
This is their Pink Floyd song. This sounded very much like Pink Floyd. About, I think, 4 or 5 minutes in, their usual sound comes in, you know, the screaming and whatnot. Yeah, it comes in towards the middle, but this is a very interesting song because the song before, you know, we talked about the hive mind and all that stuff. The song, let's see, what song is that? Because, yeah, Collapse is actually pretty much a sequel to the song before yet, Pillars of Sand, where it's talking about the hive mind being on a planet and kind of it's building itself up very much like a obelisk. It talks about obelisk. It mentioned very many, many times. It's talking about how the clock of time just kind of keeps ticking and they keep building themselves up, but they're still stuck on this almost kind of stuck in a way on this planet, and that they've, instead of kind of forming towers to the cosmos, they've just more become like an obelisk, you know, like the one from 2001. I never finished that movie.
Yeah,
which is funny because it's funny because I got past the obelisk part, so that was the like boring part, quote unquote. You know, I love me some Kubrick. I actually haven't got to review a book.
They said, oh, do you now?
Yeah. I actually got to review A Clockwork Orange. I got to watch A Clockwork Orange for a Children with Exceptionalities class, and we pretty much had to diagnose the mental disorder of a character from the movie. So I'm like, ooh, and I looked. It was like a list of like 200 movies. I'm like, what? I get to watch A Clockwork Orange for school? All right. So I told my parents, I'm like, hey, I gotta go to my room and watch a movie. It's like, what for? I'm like, I get to watch Clockwork Orange for school. And they're like, I don't believe you. I'm like, no, I'm not even shitting you. It's the best part. I get to relive.
Yeah.
You know, because nothing says teaching children like that scene where they're wearing the masks and raping the woman while beating the husband while singing in the rain.
Oh, yeah, it was perfect. All right. This is our last track. This is, as you said before, this is almost a reprise of the first track. This is Recharging the Void.
Thank you.
last song of the album. Let's hear your thoughts, your summations. Last Chance to Dance, Mr. Cooper, hit it.
Well, the last track, Collapse, kind of finished off what was talking about the obelisk, how pretty much everything was falling. I think just as much of a, in very much a metaphysical sense, everything kind of just breaking due to time. And then Recharging the Void has our main character more or less being almost shot back through the void that he was brought into, kind of return back to his post and fuck everything up and create hive minds, and now he's being shot back through it. And again, it's almost a refrain, kind of the like the thesis statement, restating the things at the beginning, but this time instead of restating them, maybe something a little different, kind of reflecting upon what happened to the throughout the album. And looking back at, you know, what kind of happened, it's talking about following me to Al Shane toward a fiery grave. And it's very, very, very interesting. This is one of those albums, like, I feel like I need to just listen to their whole discography with the fucking lyrics up and just take notes. Like, it's really cool when you get an album like that. Because you can just fucking grab your shovel and just dig into that son of a bitch. And it's really cool like that. I really enjoy doing all sorts of lyrical analysis and looking at music as a story, because quite frankly, you don't always get that. Unless, no. You know, you have songs, unless you get songs about, you know, going with a ghetto boy and kill a creepin'. But that's a little bit, that's a different type of story.
This almost felt like experimental. Only this is like their third album, so they've moved beyond that stage. But it felt experimental to me as somebody who'd never heard of this band before. It certainly was interesting. It's not the worst thing I've ever heard, not the best. It was just kind of, for me, it was kind of there. Something to put on as background noise, maybe. But I give them a lot of credit for trying to do something interesting, bring something new to the metal world. Like I said, at times sounded a little too much like Cradle of Filth for me, which isn't a bad thing, except that, you know, then it kind of goes against the whole, oh, it was experimental and trying something new. Well, no, you didn't try anything new. You sound like Cradle of Filth. But I think you talked really well. You talk good, Robert Cooper. I think you spoke very eloquently about the lyrical content, which is probably one of the big draws to this album. For my part, I would give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, and it's the funny thing is I've not looked at the lyrics nearly as much as I feel like I should have before.
Well, it was more than I did, so.
Yeah, I mean, there's only way to go is up. I absolutely adore this band. They have a very interesting sound because they do have this, some Cradle of Filth like nuances, but instead of being this black metal act, they actually have a lot of thrash in there. And thrash is, I'm not going to say it's stagnant, but it's a genre that pretty much you see what you get. Like, it's fast and it's heavy. Da! There's not nearly as much malleability to something like that.
Right.
But they managed to make it work because they add a lot of progressive tinges to it. So they managed to get, you know, fucking 9-minute long songs that talk about the, you know, all sorts of technology, which upon looking at some articles and stuff, a lot of people compare them to Voivod in a way, because Voivod did a lot of the technology stuff too. They're really the only two bands I can think of that get deep into it. But they are very, both absolutely stunning bands. It's really, really interesting. One of the things, and I think it was track 5 that just blew me away, was the delivery of the lyrics. Like, everything wasn't really, it wasn't delivered in a way that was just your typical, I guess, musical delivery. I guess that's how I should describe it. It was done in an odd cadence, and it's something that is very unique, and I greatly enjoy it. I'd give this album fucking 5 out of 5. I think it kind of just hits everything for me. It's one of those, it's kind of weird and it's out there, but it's still a, it's a very interesting story. There's a lot to really get into, and the music that follows it is just absolutely wonderful. I remember Jesse's review of this album was, the vocals are not my thing at all, but damn, this album is the music for this is great. And I feel like that's a good way to look at it. Like, you know, if the lyrics aren't, not the lyrics, the vocals aren't quite your thing, and the lyrics maybe just don't really resonate or really matter to you, the music that this band has is absolutely phenomenal. They're incredibly talented, and I think a 5-year wait between albums is, that's nothing. Like, when you get output like this, I think it's really important. And I think perhaps maybe Dream Theater can take note, considering their last album was a fucking 43-song concept album. Dumbasses.
All right. All righty. Wraps up our show. Next week, I'm moving up. I moved some stuff around on the calendar. We've pretty much, at this point, we're all sorry Lemmy died, but we're not doing a Motorhead version at this point. We're not doing a Motorhead retrospective. It's just, it fell off the calendar just due to some changes, and at this point, I don't really feel like putting it back. So, next Tuesday, assuming you're not working or whatever, there's no scheduling conflicts. Huh?
I'm off.
Okay, well, next 30 at our new time of 9:30, we're moving things back a half an hour, because I'm going to get my fat ass in the street and start running again before I die. We're going to start doing our shows at 9:30. That's going to be all of our shows. Starting tomorrow, but definitely next week, we've got 3 shows in a row. We've got the Metal Hammer of Doom. We'll be reviewing Grand Magus Sword Songs. Fucking Jesse Starcher's favorite album of the year, by the way. He ain't stopped talking about it. I'm sure he'll be on the show to revel in all its greatness. On the 1st, we'll be reviewing X-Men Apocalypse. And that'll be again at 9:30. And then Long Road to Ruin on my birthday, June 2nd. I'll be 40 years young, Robert Cooper, 40 years young. And we'll be looking at the original X-Men trilogy. So 9:30 is the new start time. Tuesday, May 31st, Metal Hammer of Doom, Grand Magus, Sword Songs. On Tuesday, June 7th, we'll be reviewing Hell Yeah, Undeniable with an exclamation point. On June 14th, excuse me, I apologize. June 14th, we'll be reviewing Volbeat, Seal the Deal, and Let's Boogie. I'm looking forward to that. On June 21st, as we mentioned earlier, Thrust on Black 3, whatever it's called. We'll be reviewing that. Maybe Robert Cooper will have a guest for us. That's June 21st. June 28th, we'll be reviewing the new Whitechapel, Mark of the Blade. We're looking forward to that as well. So, yeah, we'll be just going almost every week here through the end of June. July 5th, no show as of yet. July 12th, we'll be reviewing The Secret Life of Pets. Because on Wednesday, July 13th, Robert Winfrey has a UFC show to review. So we'll either take that week off or we will move the show to another night. We'll see what happens. Robert Cooper is going to plan our July month right now because I've lost my patience with this. No show July 19th. Tuesday, July 26th, Robert Cooper, I'm going to be at the Mid-Florida Credit Union Amphitheater taking my daughter to see Gwen Stefani and Eve. Huh? Can you dig it? Huh?
I think that shit's going to be bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Nothing August 2nd as of right now. Or the 9th. Oh, no, I lied. Hang on. Okay, so let me go back a sec. So the new Tarja Turunen comes out August 5th, The Shadow Self. So we will be reviewing that. We will be reviewing that on August 9th. The new Sabaton comes out August 19th. Hello? August 19th, we'll be reviewing it August 23rd. And the new Devin Townsend project, Transcendence, comes out September 2nd. We'll be reviewing it on September 6th. So we might throw some other stuff in there as well. Robert and I will work that out. That's pretty much our summer calendar for right now. Grand Magus, Hell Yeah, Volbeat, Rosenblatt, Whitechapel, Tarja, and Sabaton. And then we'll be ending our summer Sizzler tour with the Devin Townsend Project. And we'll see what else is coming out there. Right now, there's nothing on the list that's set to be released. Hopefully, that'll change and some other stuff will be announced. I keep looking for the new Life of Agony, and I can't find a date for when that's, you know, that's kind of like the new Limp Bizkit. It'll be out eventually. We'll let you know when it's there. So we'll see. So there is a new Mina Caputa album out, transgendered singer, formerly Keys. She's got a solo album out. It's okay from what I've heard so far. Not metal, by the way, so don't expect metal, but it's little singer-songwriter type of deal. It's pretty good. Give it a listen if you've got the patience for it. And there was one other thing I was going to announce. Tomorrow night, Robert Winfrey and I at 9:30 will be reviewing No Angry Birds. Oh, and if you're into straight progressive rock, not progressive metal, but progressive rock, this Friday, we're not going to review it. I'm just going to revel in its glory. The new Jelly Jam. Ah, shit. The Jelly Jam.
You and your love of the Jelly Jam.
I've played some Jelly Jam on this show. Jelly Jam is the shit. It's a progressive rock trio supergroup consisting of King's X member Ty Tabor, winger and Dixie Dregs member Rod Morgenstein on the drums, and Dream Theater member John Myung. They've been out since 2002. Their second album, The Jelly Jam 2, was in 2004. They did a third album in 2011 called Shall We Descend? And there's a new Jelly Jam coming out called Prophet 2016. Oh, I can't wait. It's gonna be so good. If you haven't heard the Jelly Jam, go get it. And go listen to, I believe it's No Remedy, track 2 on the original Jelly Jam album. It's terrific. All right. That's all the plugs I've got. Robert, you want to plug anything really quick?
Yes, of course I do. Okay. So, in terms of plugs, there's the...
You want to talk more about the Jelly Jam?
I think I'll pass on the Jelly Jam, but there's more than enough stuff for us to review in July, so there you go. I've been looking. But anywho, there's the WTM Network, the Wrestling to the Max Network, which includes the Wrestling to the Max podcast, Sports to the Max, Games to the Max, and the TWNE After Dark podcast. Most of those are hosted by my friend Sean Garmer. Love that guy. I really miss podcasting with him. I'm going to have to see if our schedules will line up so I can actually talk video games or something. So I'm totally going to get a PS4 soon. Knock on wood. So, you can find that at Spreaker.com/WTM Network. There's also the Sentai Rider podcast, or as Mark Holtz called it, Sentai Friendai Hentai Having a Fun Time podcast, and people keep liking our page. I don't know why. We got 15 likes or something over the past week. Let me look at this. Yeah, we have almost 400 likes. And I'm like, what did we do? We haven't even done anything. And everybody's just like, all right, I like that page. Yeah, we got 12 people the past week. Fucking South Americans, I swear. So, hopefully I'll catch up on those shows sooner or later, and we'll do a podcast on it sometime this summer. So look forward to that. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/SentaiRiderPodcast. That is SentaiRiderIDER podcast. And then, of course, source material, my buddy Jesse Starger. He does usually Monday nights. He reviews comic books. I showed up on there once to do manga. We're totally going to do more sometime this summer. Yay, Vinland Saga, Vikings, yeehaw.
All right. Apparently, the number one country, the number one city in the world where most people listen to the Jelly Jam is in Toronto. tied with Montreal. So it's 40 listeners in Toronto, 40 in Montreal, 34 in Mexico City, Mexico, 28 in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and 28 in Stockholm, Sweden.
Sweden? He is from Sweden.
And some of the bands that they sound like, the Platypus, the Liquid Trio Experiment, Planet X, and Chant, Spock's Beard, Magellan, and GPS. So everybody, this Friday, get on your Spotify, get on your Apple Music, go down to the store and pick yourself up the Jelly Jam. It'll change your life. The Jelly Jam. While you're waiting for the Jelly Jam, go on YouTube and look at the original Jelly Jam self-titled album from 2002 and just keep playing the second track over and over and over again. I'm going to listen to it right now.
Do it.
All right. I'm going to thank Robert Cooper for taking command of this nonsense tonight. Did an outstanding job as always. We'll be back next week with Grand Magus. For Mr. Robert Cooper, this is the Metal Hammer of Doom reviewing Vector Terminal Redux. Be well, be safe, and behave.